So I was thinking about, we've been talking about being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And as I was just kind of reading today and studying today and such, and you know, all of us know this, and I'm not just talking about all of us as Word of Life. I'm talking about the people of the Word know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Jesus came. In fact, I want to read in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. I want to read verse 17, Mark 2, 17. Jesus said this, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The New Living Translation says, Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners to repentance. I'll add that. And so, you know, as I've thought about it so much, Jesus came, and listen to me, we all know this, Jesus came to better our lives. To better our lives. Did you know you're better because you know Jesus? Your life is better because you know Jesus? And you know what we don't, here's what I've seen through the process of time, and I think it's getting worse as we get closer to Jesus' return. I think it's getting worse that people want to pull away from the Word because they feel like it's trying to restrict them from having fun. And, well, I can't have no fun if I read the Word of God. Let me tell you something right now. There's nothing in the Bible that God has said that's not trying to help you have a better life. Amen. Nothing. He's trying to help you have a better life. Now, we can fight it tooth and toenail. And we can say, I just don't want to do that. And so many times we live so beneath our rights and privileges as Christians. We don't enjoy the benefits like we should be enjoying them. I'm telling you, there's a way in God to live that will enjoy the benefits of the covenant that Jesus made with us. Now, you know, people can be born again and get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but struggle their whole life and never actually enjoy the benefits of being born again, other than the fact their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when you read the Word of God, God's not trying to scold us. He's trying to help us. Can I have a better amen? He's not trying to scold us. And I know this for a fact, and I try not to do it. There's so many times we pull away from preaching certain things because we don't think it's going to set well with the congregation. That they're not going to, but it's in the Bible. Are we not supposed to preach the Bible? Regardless of what it says. Why? Because it's to better us. Right? It's to better us. So when I read the Word of God, listen to me, I read the Word of God a lot of times and come under conviction. That's a good thing. Can I say it again? That's a good thing. When you're reading the Word of God and you get under conviction, that's a good thing. Why? Because it'll lead you to repentance. And when you go to repentance, you can get things right and get back on the blessing wagon, I guess I could say. And so we've been talking about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then the next verse says, verse 18 says, now all things are of God. And I'm telling you, once we get born again, we need to turn some things over to God. Say, listen, when you get born again, basically you should say, God, I belong to you now. Is that right? Isn't that what we are, belong to you now, God? It didn't make us perfect. It didn't make us failure-proof or mistake-proof. What it did was caused us to become a child of God. And the Bible says in verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that through him we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What happened is we became righteous. Sometimes that's hard for people to fit in their mouth because they don't seem to feel like they're righteous. Listen, the Bible does not say when you feel righteous, you'll be. Am I right? When you feel righteous, you'll be righteous. That's not what it says. It says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. In other words, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 said, he himself took our sins in his own body. He took our sins in his own body. Why? He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. And so we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are right. Listen, this is basically, here's what it said, Frank. We're right with God. We are right. Don't that make you feel good? I'm right with God. You're right with God. I'm right with the creator of the universe. I'm right with my Father now. Amen. Now listen, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen to me. You people can lose that all the time and say, well, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. That's right. That's why Jesus came. And then he took the sins that we sinned with in his own body that we could be made right, the righteousness of God in him, are made right with God. Listen, he's saying this. You sin in Jesus' name. He says, you've sinned and you've fallen short of the presence of God. You've sinned and you've fallen short of the power of God. You've sinned and you've fallen short of the goodness of God. But then Jesus came and took our sins, and when we made him the Lord of our life and accepted him as our Savior, then all of a sudden he makes us right with God, so we're no longer falling short of the glory. Now we're participators in the glory. Glory to God. Isn't that good news? That's a good thing. I said, that's a good thing. Praise God. We've got good working on our behalf. We got good working for us. Glory to God. I don't know where to jump into here at. And we talked about righteousness. Praise God. Well, you know, I'm gonna skip some scriptures that I haven't read yet, but I'm gonna give you these scriptures. I'm gonna give you the scriptures you can go read, and you can go do this, and I'm gonna jump down a little bit. Romans 5:17-21, we read that Sunday morning. Romans 6:17-23, you can go read that. Well, I ain't got much time, so I'm making it fast.
But we got time.
You got my notes, baby. Okay. Romans 10:10. Romans 6:17-23. Kind of like the guy going through Mahia one time, and he's going through Mahia, and he stopped at the Dairy Queen. He walked in Dairy Queen. This young kid was in there. He said, what is the name of this place? And say it real slow. They said, Dairy Queen. You know, he's talking about Mahia. Most people call it Mexia and stuff like that. So anyway, Romans 10:10, that's if where the mouth confession is made, and where the heart one believes unto righteousness, confession is made unto salvation. What, do y'all got it yet? 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. And I'm going to jump to another. We talked about righteousness, not really in detail, but enough that you understand you're righteous. And you ought not be ashamed to say it to nobody. Am I right? Y'all got this thing figured out yet?
No.
Carry on. So I want to talk about another word that connects, they all go together, that we need to hear about just for a minute. It's called justified. That we're justified. And let's you know, I may want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll tell you in just a second. No, that's a good one, but I'm gonna share it. I'll keep talk about it. Here's what I want to tell you about justified, and tell you the definition of justified, or to justify. Justified means to render just or innocent. It means to be free or be righteous. Justify in theology is to pardon. Listen, this is so good. To pardon and clear from guilt. To pardon and clear from guilt. It also means this, to absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. That's good. To absolve or acquit from guilt and merited punishment. In other words, the punishment that we should get, we don't have to have it. We don't get it. And then it goes on to say, and to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior. to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior Jesus, or by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. So justified means we're declared innocent, we're pardoned, we've been declared righteous. It means that we don't have to be under the punishment that we would normally be under if we did not know Jesus or if we was not justified. And in Acts chapter 13, let's read a few scriptures. Acts 13. Verse 38, I think it is, Billy. Verse 38 says this, and I'm in the New King James. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Justified by all things. What? All things you've ever done. Is that right? All things you've ever done. You've been justified, declared innocent. You've been pardoned. You've been acquitted. Isn't that good news? That ought to be good news. I mean, we've been justified. You've all often heard said like this. You take that word and it's just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned, justified. So we've been declared pardoned. We've been acquitted. You know, that makes me feel good because there were so many things in our lives that, you know, that itself could have seemed to be a condemning factor in our lives and would have been if it hadn't have been for us meeting Jesus Christ and being justified. Glory to God. And so, in Romans 3, look over there if you will. Romans 3. Verse 21. It said, but now, I think I read this the other day, but anyway, I'm reading it again. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we've been freely given through grace. We've been justified, declared innocent, and pardoned in Jesus' name. You know, here's what we got to understand. We don't have to live under the guilt or shame of our past, because God's done forgiven us of that. And so He's pardoned us of it and acquitted us of it. And that's good news. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate that at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You have faith in Jesus? Then you're the justified. You've done been declared innocent. You know, if we're not careful in life, and one thing about it, we know we have an adversary. Everybody know we got an adversary? Who's the adversary? Devil. Is the devil the adversary?
Yeah.
You know what he does? The Bible also calls him an accuser. The Bible says he stands and accuses us before God day and night. So he's constantly bringing accusations against us and such as that. But I found this out about the devil. He'll make you feel so guilty if you let him. He will put a guilt trip on you, and he'll make you feel so guilty about, he'll make you feel guilty about something you did 20 years ago. Has he ever went back that far with you? Anybody ever had went back that far? I mean, 10 years, 6 months, whatever it is, he'll always, why? Because he'll try to make you feel like you're still having to pay for that sin. When the Bible says you've been justified by faith in Jesus, that, in other words, you have been declared innocent. Everybody say it with me, I'm innocent. Did you know what? The judge of the universe throws that gavel down and says, I did have declared you innocent because of the blood of my son, Jesus. You've been acquitted. Makes me feel good. That's why he says you can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. You know, so many people have a hard time going boldly to the throne of grace. They feel like they're so unworthy. Well, I hate to ask God because I've just made such a mess of things. And I just hate to ask him for anything. God loves it when you just come and say, listen, Father, I'm just coming boldly to your throne. Listen, let me just throw this in here too. There's nothing wrong when you mess up to repent. I mean, nowadays you don't hear about repentance no more because it's basically, you know, grace covers everything. You don't really have to repent no more because grace got you all covered from start to back. But you know, the Bible talks a lot about repentance. Repent means to turn from. It means to say, God, I'm sorry, and turn from. And you know, when you do that, he said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you know God's not trying to say, well, I don't want you to come because you've been a bad person. He said, no, I've done declared you innocent. I've done acquitted you. I've done pardoned you. But sometimes you just have to say for your, not just for yourself, but for the sake of your relationship with God, you have to say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I blew it. I messed up. I made a mistake. Now let's get this thing back together and let's go. Huh? I'm coming to your throne and I'm not going to feel guilty about coming to you and petitioning you and asking you for anything. People say, I just don't feel right asking God for nothing no more. I messed up. That's the problem. The devil's got you right where he wants you. Don't go to God. You made a mess of your life. God says, I pardoned you. You're my kid. I want to see you. Right in the throne room. You might as well come on in. Listen, let me say this to help you out a little bit. If you go into your prayer room or whatever with such an unworthiness about you and such a guilty conscience about you, you're not going to pray effectively. Because what you're going to do most of the time, have you ever seen people that almost have to act like they're begging God to forgive them? And they'll spend most of the time just begging God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Would you please forgive me? Please, God, I messed up. I said I wouldn't do that. I said I did that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please. And they just sit there the whole time begging God to forgive them. Listen, God's already forgiven you. When you said, God, I'm sorry, he forgave you the first time. He declared you what? Innocent. So the devil tries to keep people in a state of mind where they don't feel like they're effective with God, and so they don't feel like they deserve have the right to go before God, so they won't go pray or something like that, and they say, well, you know, I just don't think God would hear me. Well, that's the problem. God does hear you. He said his ears are attentive and open to the prayers of the righteous. What are we? I said, what are we? Are we righteous? You can't have an unrighteous mentality. You've got to see, here's what. If we're not careful, we don't find out who we are. So therefore, a lot of the benefits that we have as the righteous, as the children of God, as the justified, sanctified, redeemed, all those things we don't enjoy because we don't feel like we have a right to it, or we're not worthy to receive them. You know, I'm just be honest with you. I'm not that way. Not saying I haven't made mistakes, but I found out this: God will forgive them things. And I tell you what, God's work, here's what we're headed for, is to get to the place where we're perfecting or maturing. We got to mature. And so, we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, so I've been declared innocent. I don't have to live in guilt. And I remember years ago when we went to Guatemala, me and several, I think there's five of us, went to Guatemala for 10 days. And anyway, we wind up going to this mountain from where we're staying. Was in Patzun. Y'all don't mean nothing to y'all, but it was a long way from the city of Guatemala City, and drove up several hours in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we went from there to another little town that was, I don't know how many hour drive, in the little back of a little pickup, Toyota pickup with a camper, and it was horrible. And went up there, was running late, and we were about an hour late, and they were supposed to, the people sitting up in this village waiting for us to get there to preach the gospel. And so we assumed there wouldn't be nobody there when we got there because we was running so late. So we had them stop at souvenir shops and everything else because we just assumed there ain't going to be nobody there. So we'd go and stop here. So we went through there. And when we got there, there were people everywhere. They waited on us. It wouldn't happen in the States. Not much. And so when we got there, anyway, I was the one that preached that, and I had an interpreter, which was Freddie Naranjo, which pastors in Corpus Christi, and he did the interpretation and preached a good word and stuff like this. And when he got through, the pastor there said, they didn't understand neither one of y'all. We have an Indian dialect that nobody knows. So Freddie basically gave the roundup of what I preached in just a few minutes, and his son was there. And when we was praying for his son, here's what he had to get filled with the Holy Ghost and all. And here's what he said. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he had this guilty conscience and all such as that. And so, you know, and I thought, so many people are that way. They come up for prayer, but yet at the same time, they don't feel like they're worthy for the answer. And so it robs them. So we got to minister to them for our Freddie did, because I called through the interpreter and stuff like this. And before they got, before they got through ministering to him, they literally talked him into believing that God loved him and cared about, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. But before that, he felt he didn't have no right to it. And I'm telling you, God wants us to know we have a right to everything he's provided. Everything he's provided, we have a right to. And if we don't lay claims to it, and if we don't get it, listen to me, and don't take me wrong, it's not God's fault. I said, it is not God's fault if we don't lay claims to the benefits and the blessings of the covenant that we're in, and because we think we don't deserve it. Listen to me, everybody, there's not one person in this church tonight that don't deserve it. You deserve it because you belong to Him. Amen? And so we got to understand, we've been justified, we're righteous. We've been justified. We've been brought into the kingdom of God. And we've got to get our mindset on all that God's doing in our lives, or what He wants to do in our lives, and all that He's done for us. And we need to lay claims to it. Listen, I lay claims to everything. If I find something in the Bible that says I can have, it's mine. How about y'all? Huh? That's why none of us should stay sick or hurting very long at all. Because we have a right to the covenant, the healing covenant that we have in God. Amen. Praise God. Every single one of us are to shoot for 120 years of lifespan. People that say, I don't want to live that long, they won't. I mean, I'm not trying to force anybody into doing it. And, you know, I know Miss Oliver's telling me today that one of her grandparents lived to be 107. One of them was 104. She said she had three, at 50 years old, she had three living grandparents. Three living grandparents, and they still died prematurely. Mike's parents, was 90, 93 and 91, and they still died prematurely. And here's what the Lord told me. He said, you don't base, listen to this, and I'm going to give you a little bit of what I preach Sunday night for those you want to hear. He says, you don't base your longevity upon your parents or your ancestors. You base it on the Word of God, of what God said. And in Genesis 6:23, He says, all the days of man shall be 120 years. So we can't base listen to me, and I'm just going to quit right now because I'm out of time. We don't base the promises of God upon our family history. We reach into the Word and say, this is mine, no matter what's happened to my grandparents, what happened to my great-grandparents, what happened to my parents. This is mine right now in Jesus' name. You don't need to live under the curses of whatever seemed to be passed down. You need to say, bless God, I break those curses off my life. Jesus redeemed me from the curses of the curse of the law, and I don't have to put up with it. Why? Because I've been justified, because I'm righteous, because I've been sanctified. We're going to talk about sanctified, and it's very good. But the thing about it is we've got to get a grip on who we are. Who we are. Don't ever walk around and say, I just don't feel like I deserve it. Listen to me. God, Jesus, you didn't before Jesus, but after Jesus you do. Amen. Amen. The blood made you worthy. Amen. We can people can talk all day long. I'm not worthy. What you're to just do it in a kind way. Rebuke them in Jesus' name. Says, yes, you are, because Jesus shed his blood for you just like he shed it for me. And just like he shed it for anybody else. And you have been justified by faith in Jesus. So you've been declared innocent. You've been pardoned and you've been acquitted. So you might as well just say, bless God. I am worthy to pray, to believe God, to stand in the presence of God. And I'm telling you, and hold your head up. Huh? Have you ever been talking to somebody and they won't look you in the eye? They're always wanting to look down. Why? Because I don't know why, but anyway, you need to look Jesus in the eye and say, man, I'm your child, God, and I love you. Amen. Anyway, I'm done. Isn't God good? Thank you, Jesus.